This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hello and welcome into the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. I'm National Recruiting Analyst Cooper Patagno, alongside 24/7 Sports Director of Scouting Andrew Ivins. And it's the end of the week. It's Thursday. The boys are elated. Big weekend for Andrew coming up. Drew, I don't even really want to highlight your plans, but a nice, relaxing weekend for you coming up, and a little bit of golf. Right, we're heading to Augusta for a practice round.
I am, yeah. We're going to Augusta over potentially Final Four National Championship. So first time on at the facility. Had to get some you can't bring a camera in. You can't bring a phone in, but you can bring in a digital camera. So we got one of those. Looking forward to it. Fired up. Have you ever been, Cooper? I know this answer, but
is that a slight?
I mean, do you hit a hole in one and they just send you a ticket, or how does it go?
No, I've never been to Augusta, man. I mean, it sounds amazing. The other part about it is the food prices at the concessions, right? Isn't everything just like under $5?
Yeah, and it's like $5 beers, I think, too.
That's amazing. So practice round, is there one or two players that you're like, all right, I'm zeroed in on Morgan and I got to go see?
You know, I've done a lot of reading on this, and it seems to kind of just be like you don't know what you're going to get. And I've been to a bunch of PGA tournaments, and you try to find your bearings. Like, number one, I'm finding my bearings is going to be hard. So whatever happens, happens. But last year, I believe Monday practice round, Fred Couples and Tiger Woods played 9 together. If we stumble into that, pinch me, because I will be on cloud 9.
Right. So a lot of different storylines, right? You got Tiger Woods only going to play in the Masters from this point, only going to play in the major tournaments from this point forward in his career. And then I believe the LIV Tour boys, they can play in the majors, right?
Yeah, they're there. Like Dustin Johnson, Louis Oosthuizen, they're all there. The LIV.
Whew. Sign me up, man. I'm going to be excited for that one. All right, let's talk some football. We've been talking a lot of golf on these podcasts the last couple of days, but Drew, nice little assignment. Kind of like this one.
Not a lot of preparation
going into this. You know, it's just kind of like, hey, this is our field. But we're going to talk about college football future rankings, how the top 25 will look in 2025. And this is an article put out by 24/7 Sports national writer Brad Crawford, who does an excellent job. But he's gone out, really tapped into the resources at 24/7 Sports Network, and he's put together a future rankings list of what this will look like in 2025. And this is pretty interesting. So we're going to bring it to you, the fans, how Brad sees it in groups of five. And we'll start all the way at number 25, Drew, and Kansas State at 25. Nothing to argue about there. Nebraska, 24. Colorado, 23. South Carolina, 22. TCU, 21. And Florida, number 20. So a lot to digest there. Drew, any of those teams right off the bat in terms of where their ranking is, where you see these guys in 2 years, any surprises for you?
Well, I think you got to point out, this is Brad trying to project, hey, you know, we don't have the 2023 rankings yet, but you got the 24, you know, so basically, what is it going to look like after two or three recruiting classes is the exercise here. And there's going to be a ton of movement. We know how much coaching there is. So that's why I love this story. We know what all these teams did on the recruiting trail this past year. We know what they've done recently. And we think we have an idea of what they could do moving forward. So, Coop, the one that jumps out to me, Nebraska, number 24, Matt Rhule. I think me and you have discussed at length that we think Matt Rhule is going to do big things in Lincoln. And if you project to 2+ years from now, all those traits he's recruiting, all those developmental guys, they're going to be playing and likely meaningful snaps. Like Malachi Coleman could be the guy for Nebraska at that point. Dylan Raiola could be the quarterback for Nebraska at that point. And then really where Matt Rhule has made his money has been taking guys that aren't highly ranked and getting the most out of them. We saw that at Baylor. We saw it at Temple. We think he's probably going to do the same at Nebraska. So that's the one that jumps out to me here in the in that 20 to 25 range. What about you, Cooper?
Colorado at 23. Pretty interesting, right? But I think Brad is going with the upside play here. And listen, if Colorado is going to hit, Brad's right. I mean, this is going to be the timeline of when you would expect Colorado to really get in the mix and kind of cement themselves as a top 25 program. A lot riding on that. And I think there are a lot more question marks than answers with Deion Sanders at this level in the Power Five. I mean, I do want to elaborate on this more and say that I just love this move from Colorado. I mean, this program had no identity, really down in the dumps. They bring Deion Sanders in. They get a jolt of energy right off the bat, get guys like Travis Hunter, Cormani McClain, so on and so forth. I think this year one is going it's really pivotal for Deion Sanders. Because in a lot of ways, it shows the trajectory of the program. And I think there's a lot of expectations in Boulder in year one for Deion Sanders. I mean, he's gutted more than half that roster, right? So there are a lot of new faces there. I think the Pac-12, although it's more competitive as of late, I think Deion Sanders can get Colorado to a bowl eligible season this year. And if he does that, then sky's the limit in terms of what he can do on the recruiting trail. The other part about Deion Sanders outside of the talent acquisition, I really like what he's done at the coordinator spots. You know, bringing over Sean Lewis from Kent State, we talked about, and then Charles Kelly as well coming over from Alabama. So I think he has surrounded himself with the right people. Colorado at 23, I think that's an upside play. Two others, Drew. I actually think South Carolina at 22, which if you know anything about Brad Crawford, Brad, I love you. Brad's the biggest South Carolina homer there is.
Yeah, I feel like he went a little conservative here.
I think so, too. I think he probably understands the perception game of him writing the article with South Carolina. I think South Carolina is closer to 15 at this point. I love the direction of the program at South Carolina under Shane Beamer. To me, though, Drew, the reason I'm confident in saying this, the last 2 years, what they've done on the recruiting trail, this would really where you would start to see that take hold. And they've done a terrific job there. So I'm high on South Carolina. I'm also really high on TCU and the Horned Frogs, especially with Texas and Oklahoma vacating the Big 12, going to the SEC. I think that conference is wide open. I think Sonny Dykes is in a perfect position in DFW in Dallas to really recruit the state of Texas really well. And then what they've done in the transfer portal this last year, they got a spicy little recipe going on there. I really like where TCU is. So we haven't talked about Florida. We're going to talk about them in a second. Kansas State, I think, makes sense. Nebraska at 24 can definitely see that. Colorado, we'll see, right? Carolina and TCU for me, I would have a little bit higher, but I don't think this is far off.
Colorado, I want to see if you disagree with this thought. This is, again, 2-3 years from now. Like, you've talked about it being a pivotal year one for Coach Prime in Boulder. Like, if Colorado is going to be in the top 25, Travis Hunter and Cormani McClain have to hit, correct? Like, those guys got to find success. There can't be some lulls in the road, because I think a lot of young recruits and guys that are freshmen and sophomores in high school, they're looking to see how the big dogs that everyone knows succeeds under the direction. And the other thing too is, I mean, you can probably get away with continually flipping the roster for a short amount of time, but I don't know if you can do that year over year. So for me, from what we've seen of Coach Prime at Jackson State and in Colorado, they've kind of been a transfer you type of program. At some point, you got to build, I would think, through the high school ranks. And I know that all those guys we just mentioned are high school guys, but you got to build out the roster and the entire depth. So I think if Colorado is in the top 25 at some point down the line, there's going to have to be a little shift in philosophy when it comes to managing that roster.
I will say this, but I understand you know this too, that roster needed to be gutted.
Yeah.
Right. And when Brian Kelly got to LSU, I always bring this up, Brian Kelly got to LSU, he had to essentially do the same thing in Baton Rouge. Now, a lot more redeeming parts in Baton Rouge than in Boulder, Colorado. Don't get me wrong. And it's not like the cupboard was completely bare. But I believe he only had, 39 scholarship players when he got to Baton Rouge. That's what LSU had in the Texas Bowl when they played Kansas State over a year and a half ago. So the other part of this is Brian Kelly wins double-digit games in year one, right? Now look at the perception. We're going to talk about LSU later in the show. Look at the perception of LSU and their future outlook. Look at the perception of Florida and Billy Napier after a shaky year one. The reason I bring that up, Deion Sanders is not going to be under the microscope to the same degree. Maybe he will from a national perspective, but in terms of the pressure cooker internally, he won't be under that same level of stress. But if you can win in year one, if you can show enough promise, what that does for you as a program trajectory from a recruiting perception is huge. There's a lot on the line. So that's kind of why I bring that up in terms of Deion Sanders. I don't think it's so much of a negative, but a huge positive if these dudes can find some success.
Should we talk about Florida sitting here at number 20?
Yeah, so I actually overplayed my hand. It should have been 25 through 21 that I should have potted together. That would have been five teams. So why don't we do 20 through 16? That sound good?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's get them.
All right, so Florida at number 20, coming off a shaky year, like I said, in year one under Billy Napier. Auburn at number 19 with Hugh Freeze, new head coach of the Auburn Tigers. Kalen DeBoer, friend of the show, Oyster Boys favorite. Washington coming at number 18. Oklahoma, number 17 with Brent Venables. And number 16, Texas A&M. So a couple SEC teams making their debut in Brad Crawford's future rankings in 2025. I really do like this exercise, Drew. We should do more stuff like this. Let's start with the boys down at Gainesville. You're the Florida man. Dad's hugely invested in the program. Let's get your thoughts.
Well, I in this pod, I have two questions. Like, are we sure Billy Napier's there in 2025?
If that's where they're sitting, no. That was my thought.
Yeah, that was when I read this too. Okay, I thought the exact same thing. If that's where Florida is, yeah, I don't. Changes come in, and I think the other thing, the other school in this pod where I thought the same thing is Jimbo Fisher in Texas A&M, right? Like, yeah, 2025, number 16. I think there would be change even with that monster contract. So. I agree with you, Cooper, in terms of Florida and if they were sitting there, you think that there would be, some unhappy people in Gainesville. With that being said, I do think with what Florida recruited in the 2023 cycle, we always talk about that recruiting class, the blue chip ratio, the developmental guys. I mean, those are the guys that would be your juniors and seniors, your potential difference makers. So I do think that roster is headed in the right direction. I think we're excited to see what Florida is going to do here in the 2024 recruiting cycle. They got DJ Lagway, the quarterback. I mean, in theory, in 2025, Lagway could be the guy. And you look at the defensive group they have committed in 2024, a few linebackers, the safety, they just got Amir Jackson. We discussed him on the last podcast. So we'll see how they close out the year. But I do think they have a chance to be sitting right there at 20, given what we've seen so far from Napier when it comes to developing and building that roster.
I feel like you and I are like addicts when it comes to Florida. Remember how much we used to talk about Florida? We used to talk about Florida all the time, preps to pros, big topic of conversation. We haven't talked about him as much, so kudos to the boys on that. But with Florida, Andrew, I agree with you. I like the way Florida is trending on the recruiting trail. I think they're doing a very solid job. I think this is a roster in 2 to 3 years that's going to be able to compete for an SEC East title. That being said, if you don't have the key to the ignition, it doesn't matter. I have so many questions about their current quarterback situation. And is Graham Mertz the guy to unlock Florida? And I think they have some holes right now that they're still trying to fill. And I think you and I have talked about this. There's this push-pull, right, of Billy Napier preaching patience and long-term trajectory, and we're going to develop our guys. We're going to recruit, retain, develop, a lot like Willie Fritz's philosophy that he talked about. And then there's just this pull from the other side of the expectations of the Florida fan base. And can Billy Napier get this turned around soon enough for his long-term vision to take hold? And that's the thing. I mean, like, if you look at it from an analogy standpoint, he's been planting a lot of seeds that are going to take 2 to 3 years to sprout. But is that going to be enough time? So I don't know. If there's a team that I have just, I don't want to say a dark cloud, but their future is really murky for me. And last year when Billy Napier took the job and we talked about Florida, Miami, Florida State, this was the one that I had the most confidence in. I do not feel that same way. I'm very skeptical of the future in Gainesville.
Well, they got Lagway, right? And again, you start counting on your fingers. You know, he could be the guy, and he's an upside play. He's got the traits, and someone that's going to need some time. I also have to throw a Patagna flag on me. I said Amir Jackson was the safety they got. It's actually Josiah Davis. He just committed. I got my South Georgia athletes mixed up, so I didn't want that to come back on me.
Your head's in Augusta. I don't think anybody can blame you on that. It's all right. It happens. I had a couple of Patak flags yesterday. All right, Drew, I'm going to read this out again. Auburn 19, Washington 18, Oklahoma 17, A&M 16. My initial thoughts on the rest of that pod, I think that's a great spot for Auburn. I think that's a really good spot for Washington. Oklahoma at 17. Oklahoma's another one. Like,
Is Oklahoma higher if they're in the Big 12 and not the SEC at this point?
That was my question.
That's my first thought.
And I wonder if he took that into consideration. I think the Auburn-Oklahoma conversation, which I never thought we would have, but now since they're going to be in the same conference, it's pretty interesting. It's early. I like the intention of how Auburn's recruiting. That being said, I really like how Oklahoma's recruiting, especially defensively. So Oklahoma's got to put it together this year, right? They got to make a leap on the field. Last year, not the expectation that Sooners fans have. I think that group, 19 through 17, Auburn, Washington, Oklahoma, very fair. Well, A&M at 16. Well, yeah, go ahead.
On Oklahoma, I mean, you don't – think that they should be a little bit higher, right? They would have your guy in theory, Jackson Arnold, at quarterback. We know how they're recruiting on the defensive side of the ball, PJ Adebowale. They continue to build that out. You think that Brent Venables is going to get that unit right? I think the one question mark is how do they transition into the SEC? And that kind of leads into the next one you were just bringing up. Remember when the Aggies entered the SEC, made that transition over. They found success kind of right away. Do we think Oklahoma can do the same? I don't really have an answer for that.
I certainly do. It's more I'm more comfortable with the spot because to me, seeing is believing at this point with Brent Venables in Oklahoma, right? Like I love what they're doing. Now we just want to go see it be done, right? And you're going to give them a little bit of leash, same way you would give Billy Napier a little bit of leash in year one. Year two, they got to show it. So until they show it, I'm fine with them at 17. I have no issue with that whatsoever. I do think it's safe to say, though, if we're sitting here in 2 years and Oklahoma's with inside the top 10, I don't think it would shock me or you. So, yeah, Oklahoma's one of those that's, you know, you kind of put an asterisk next to. I would say Florida is the same way. A&M, who knows? I mean, what a wild card, right? And Jimbo Fisher goes out and hires Bobby Petrino. The vibes I get over there are just kind of like, God, they're like 2020 LSU. And they never won a national championship, but like, it's just like, where is this going? You know, we're kind of stuck in the mud here. We're trying to figure this out. We got a talented team. We know we should be a lot better than we are. There's some issues behind the scenes that have arisen over the last year. He's got to put it together this year or he's out of there, in my opinion. Because last year wasn't good enough. You look at their roster and how talented they are. He's got his guy in Connor Wigman. He's stood by him. That's the guy he's always wanted. A&M's got to put it together, or I don't know if Jimbo is going to be there much longer.
Got that talent on defense as well, that defense up front. Now, I agree with you. I said when we had that initial pod, and if you're reading Brad Crawford's story, the photo of for Texas A&M's up Jimbo, and it's like, all right, is Jimbo going to be there in 2025? And then you brought up Florida as well with Billy Napier. Those are the two I kind of had the same thoughts.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
15, Utah. 14, Miami Hurricanes. 13, Oregon Ducks, number 12, Florida State Seminoles, and number 11, Notre Dame Fighting Irish. All right, you take this as I'm writing these down and collecting my thoughts. Your initial thoughts on that next pod?
I think like Utah is the one I feel the best about in terms of, all right, like I could see this in 2025. I guess that would depend on what happens with Kyle Whittingham, but they develop talent. They get talent. They win games. We saw that on the field in 2022. And the Pac-12 is going to look different here in a few years. USC's out. UCLA's out. Utah has a chance to be the top dog. And I think that also applies to what Dan Lanning and Oregon is doing. I think a question I have just at the first glance is, all right, is Dan Lanning still at Oregon 2-3 years from now? And Oregon has had a ton of turnover, but they've still ton of head coaching turnover. I saw your face there. Guys have come in, guys have left. You know, Dan Lanning seems like a guy that the SEC is going to covet at some point down the line, but it's been impressive to watch how he has recruited. I mean, Kalen DeBoer was on the podcast talking about being in the Pac-12, being out on the West Coast and having to figure out your recruiting identity. Well, Dan Lanning has gotten to all different pockets of the country, even down into the South and got talent up to Eugene. So Brad asked me for a quote on this. And I said, if Dan Lanning can get another another top 10 recruiting class, then absolutely. I mean, the Ducks are going to have a chance to be king in the Pac-12, because at the end of the day, it comes to stacking elite recruiting class after elite recruiting class after elite recruiting class. Have to build depth. Sure, you can supplement here and there some roster holes with the transfer portal, but still got to bring in your own homegrown dudes, and Oregon is doing just that.
I like this pod. I think the pod is correct. I think the order is a little bit out of whack. No offense to Brad. He's got an impossible job here, right? Everybody's going to have different opinions. I do like Utah at 15. Maybe you flip them with Miami. Miami, from a talent acquisition standpoint, is elite. That's not going to change. I have more questions about, can they get it done on the field? And here we are after year one, and Mario Cristobal's got a new offensive coordinator. He's got a new defensive coordinator, and there's a lack of continuity. That has always been my concern. We got new faces again, right? And people are shuffling in and out of the building. Even as recent as last week, new tight ends coach. Sure, you promote an analyst in Cody Woodall, who's already on your staff. You know, Stephen Field is out. I just want to see them function as a normal program. And I feel like every year it's like there's this drama, or it's like just handle your business. That's how I feel about Miami. The talent's always going to be there. Drew, you and I have echoed that from the beginning. I'd like to see him put it on the field this year.
Here'd be my question with Miami. Like, who is the quarterback in this top 25, right? I think that's the one question I would have. And maybe they land a big arm, but it has been a revolving door when it comes to the offensive coordinators. I think at times that can make it a bit difficult to lock up a long-term arm. And I'm not saying they can't get one from the transfer portal, but like, who's kind of the guy of the future post Tyler Van Dyke? You know, Jake Arcia left, Emery Williams, developmental upside guy. You know, we'll see who they get in the 2024 cycle. But my question, and no, that would be my question with Miami. And I guess the pushback is, and I'm surprised we're 25 minutes in this podcast, we even brought this up, like, Miami's got their NIL ducks in a row with Ruiz and what they got going on. Some of these other programs do as well. But I think that gives you some staying power, because you know that it's going to continue to be a factor.
But at the same time, the flip side of that is, when you start diving in heavily into the NIL scene, and let's say the only other team we can use as a sample size here is Texas A&M.
That's the Petri dish.
There has to be a high level of ROI, return on investment. And at some point, people are going to say, listen, we've given you everything that you've asked for in order to be successful. Not be successful, but in order to give Texas A&M and Miami a national championship. These people aren't dishing out millions and millions of dollars for a New Year's Six appearance. They want to win national championships because they believe that they can buy them. Miami is the same way. They believe that they can buy their way into national championship relevancy. And from a talent acquisition standpoint, both of those programs have successfully done that. They've built rosters that are arguably some of the most talented in the country. Now they got to go out and execute. To me, it's not about the horses running the race. It's more about the jockey and the trainer. I want to know if they got those guys right, you know, so we'll see on that. So Utah smack dab in the middle at 15. I think that's perfect. I think that's kind of where they are. I think they're probably 12 to 15, right? Oregon at 13. I'm kind of bullish on these dudes. I love the way they're recruiting. I can see them kind of jumping in the top 10. You take USC, UCLA out of the picture in the Pac-12. It kind of leaves it wide open. We talked about Washington. It's going to be interesting to kind of see how they recruit going forward. Pac-12 is a lot more competitive now. Oregon State, we don't even talk about them. Oregon State, not even in the top 25. And guess what? Aiden Chiles, 2025, you know what we feel about him. There's one team, maybe we'll revisit that at the end of the show. Okay, teams left on the outside looking in. We should probably think about that a little bit. But Oregon, I'm bullish on. Florida State, love this spot for them. Notre Dame at 11. you can make an argument. You could put Notre Dame at 15, and I really wouldn't push back at you. I like the way they're recruiting. I think they're recruiting top down really well. What's funny about the way they're recruiting is, I don't think it's very different than how Brian Kelly recruited Notre Dame. I think it's actually pretty similar. High-level, multi-year starters with limited NFL upside. Maybe that's a bit harsh. They're recruiting good players. They're going to be in the national spotlight. College football playoff, as it's in its current format, I don't think so. But that's just me.
Well, an expanded field helps Notre Dame, correct?
100%. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're talking about a 12-team format. I think it's a little bit more of a different conversation. But I guess what I'm saying is, for them to get over the hump, and this is no fault of Marcus Freeman, stepped in the batter's box with Keelan Keeley. They did everything right there and just lost the battle. Stepped in the batter's box with Peyton Bowen, did everything right there and just lost the battle. They just got to keep doing that. Trust the process, win some football games, put some guys in the NFL. I shouldn't have said what I said about the NFL development. They've done a really good job there. Every year, he's just got to continue to say, like, all right, let's just inch forward, let's inch forward, let's inch forward. And who knows, by the time you get to 2025, maybe he's got it exactly where he wants it to be.
Yeah.
And the first year, by all means, was very much a success on the recruiting trail. I will say that.
I want to know how the new hires look and how Notre Dame fares in 2023. I mean, a lot of changes. You see that first-year head coaches. We know Notre Dame's going to recruit well. How do they get into that, like you said, that top five, right? How do you elevate that roster with the true difference makers? I don't have an answer for that right now. I talked about it at length. I saw some Notre Dame fans bring this up, but Keon Keeley, to me, Cooper, we were in the elevator with him out at the All-American Bowl and was like, this is a Notre Dame kid and he's going to Alabama. So how do you flip the script on that? Because you start adding some of him to the roster, I mean, it changes the whole outlook.
Not a Notre Dame issue. I mean, everybody in the country has to deal with, hey, these guys fit us, but they're going to Alabama and Georgia. I mean, that's been happening for a long time, you know. But you're exactly right. I mean, how do you get over the hump? And to me, it's national relevancy. You have to start winning some of these games, right, on a national stage. That's the only way you're going to flip the script, in my opinion. So, all right, Drew, a little bit of a shocker to start off the next pod. Michigan at number 10, coming off back-to-back CFP appearances, number 9.
Do you think they should be higher? Because I think the shock's at number 9.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Michigan at number 10 is a little bit more of a shock when you hear about who number 9 is. Wisconsin, Luke Fickell, and the boys in the Big Ten. USC, Lincoln Riley at number 8. Clemson, number 7, Dabo Sweeney. Says everything's good over here in South Carolina. Everything's good with our program, number 7. Tennessee at number 6. I got to admit, man, I love that one right there. I love Tennessee at number 6. All right, Drew, 10 through 6, your initial impressions.
The Wisconsin one is definitely a eyebrow raiser, I think. But it makes sense.
Would you have Wisconsin ahead of Florida State?
I mean, I don't hate it. I do not hate it. Here's why. Luke Fickell produces a record number of NFL draft picks when he's at Cincinnati. He also gets Cincinnati to the college football playoff. I mean, kind of wrap your head around that. He is a program developer. He brought his top lieutenant with him to Cincinnati. I think the secret sauce there is the strength program, how they go about it. I think that just fits what they want to do in Madison so well. So, yeah, I mean, ahead of Florida State's saying a lot, but I think if you asked this question a year from now, you'd be like, okay. So Brad is rolling the dice here, but I think it's a calculated kind of gamble. You know, we've seen Wisconsin when they're at their peak. And you should also point out, he says in 2023, you know, Wisconsin will be a top 25 team, 2024 expanded playoff contender, 2025 expanded playoff contender. So I don't hate it.
Because
I also think they're figuring out what's going on at quarterback, right? You know, they used to have one of the worst of quarterback situations, quarterback rooms in all of Power Five football. They have quickly turned that around.
I love Luke Fickell. So I'm not going to back down from this. I'm actually going to ride with my boy Brad on this. Now, this is very heavily dependent on the fact that Luke Fickell is one of the best when it comes to talent identification and evaluation. And in terms of building a roster, developing a roster, I think he's got that formula. I think he understands that region exceptionally well. I'd love to see Wisconsin back in the mix as a top 10 team. But when you start thinking about them over teams like Auburn, Washington, Oklahoma, Utah, it's pretty interesting, right? But it goes to show the level of confidence in a guy like Luke Fickell. Michigan at 10. I mean, we didn't really talk about them a little bit, but I can see it. I mean, because some of the teams that you have ahead of them, I probably would have had them ahead of USC. I just think they're built a lot more consistently from top down, especially in the line of scrimmage. I can't argue with Clemson and I can't argue with Tennessee. So I think, to me, Michigan would have been closer to 8 than to 10. But I think they're in the right neighborhood here.
What if Michigan gets Jaden Davis?
That does not change the way I feel.
That doesn't. Okay.
So sorry to be blunt there, but
they need another arm is what you're saying, right?
To me, they need to recruit like they're capable of recruiting.
Yeah.
Year in and year out, and not all of a sudden just flip the switch on every 4 years when it's convenient, when you get a little bit of criticism.
Yeah.
Just do your job and recruit at a high level, and then you can win a national championship.
Well, it should be pointed out, Brad wrote here, given Harbaugh's constant meetings with the NFL, will he still be patrolling the sidelines in 2025? We're going to go no here, hence Michigan slide to number 10. So he's projecting Harbaugh to be gone in Ann Arbor.
We'll be there, in my opinion. It's going to be like Aaron Rodgers retiring every year. Every year we're going to go through this. You know, it's just I don't think it bothers him one bit, and I don't think it bothers Michigan's administration one bit. The fact that he takes meetings in the NFL and he pokes around, and I don't really even think it hurts Michigan as much as people say it does. So, Arjor, USC at 8, Clemson at 7, Tennessee at 6. What do you think there?
USC, I mean, talked about it a little bit earlier with the new look Pac-12 and Utah. Well, USC would be in the Big Ten at this point. And I think the big question with them is how are they going to adjust to life in a – conference that is dictated at the point of attack, the line of scrimmage. You know, for them to be here, they got to figure out the situation, I think, with the big bodies, right? The big bodies up front. I think Lincoln Riley can do that. So I'm fine with this. I'm fine with where this is. And we liked a lot of what USC brought in the 2023 cycle. They're going to continue to get playmakers, right? They're going to continue to get perimeter skill talent. They're going to get the guys that want to be a part of that offense. I think it's just how do they kind of tinker with what's around them.
We'll see. I mean, I'm just kind of waiting for something to happen. Like if we invested the same amount of time in Los Angeles on both sides of the line of scrimmage as we do at the skill positions, I think that's how you get over the hump, right? So I don't hate that spot for USC. I do think there's a little bit of a ceiling on them because of, I mean, it's not like there's no shortage of experience that we're drawing from, right? We're going all the way back to Lincoln Riley's time at Oklahoma. And I think he did a better job there than what we've seen early on at USC. That being said, we got to give him some time. So the Big Ten dynamic, how that impacts their roster building, that's interesting. Drew, to me, this conversation right here, because these two teams just met in a New Year's Six Bowl, Clemson and Tennessee, And I like the way Brad has these stacked. I mean, I'm so high on Tennessee. And I'm really high on Nico Iamaleava. I love what they got going at the quarterback position. It's an offensive game. You're talking about one of the brightest minds right now in Josh Heupel. And the pushback from a Clemson fan would be like, hey, we just went and signed one of the best offensive minds as well. And Garrett Riley, right, from TCU. So I understand that. To me, I don't think these two teams are that different from what we've seen in the last 2 years in terms of talent acquisition. And the job Tennessee's done on the defensive end would make me very comfortable putting Tennessee at number six.
Right. I keep bringing it up. Tennessee might not be getting the five stars on defense, but they are getting that next tier of players, which can be developed into a five-star caliber prospect. We continue to bring it up, how we like what they're doing on defense. They're going to get the defense right, you would think, at some point down the line. Just with the sheer number of developmental guys that they're bringing in. And you talk about the other side of the ball, Josh Heupel's there. He loses Alex Golesh this offseason. I don't think that offense is going to miss much of a beat with Joe Milton. And then you welcome in Nico Iamaleava. Nico could be a second year guy at this point in this exercise. So I agree with that. And then you compare it to what Clemson's got going on. Dabo has made some changes. Garrett Riley comes in. He's got outside of his branch, but he's also brought back some familiar faces. And with Jeff Scott returning, we've discussed how wide receiver recruiting is starting to look like wide receiver recruiting of old. And just with Clemson, I'm a big believer in Cade Klubnik. You know, he could be a fourth year guy in this situation. So I agree, it's stacked right. And I think both these teams deserve where they are in these rankings based upon what we know.
Okay, let's finish this thing out. Texas coming in at number five of the Longhorns. Number four, Brian Kelly in that silly accent of his. Number three, Ohio State. Number two, the Dark Lord, Nick Saban and the boys. Number one, the new Dark Lord, Georgia Bulldogs, Kirby Smart. Where is your shocker here where my shocker is here? At number five?
Yeah. The top three is like, this is what we thought, right?
Correct.
Even if Saban's rides off into the sunset.
I would have flipped three and two.
Okay. Ohio State and Alabama, you flip them?
Correct. Okay. I just think, here's the thing. Alabama, still elite. Love their recruiting class. As long as he's there, I don't think I think they're in that range, right? They're one through three. The quarterback position has been so dynamic for them with Bryce Young. And on top of that, be careful with my words. They've been a very talented team, but they have more holes in their roster recently than they've had in a really long time. Now, I think they're doing a good job of addressing that. That being said, Bryce Young's not there anymore. All right, so now we're talking about Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson. And I get it, Ty Simpson, former five-star, rated right here at 24/7 Sports. Bryce Young, completely different prospect. And I had so much confidence in Bryce Young coming out of California in modern day. Tommy Reese, Kevin Steele, Ty Simpson, Jalen Milroe. I don't trust it like I used to.
Chink in the armor.
It's just, yeah, I don't have as much confidence. And you know what? It used to be keeping up with the Joneses. Well, the Joneses are Georgia. Ohio State's not far behind. LSU's sniffing around. Tennessee's in the mix. Clemson's getting better. That separation is not what it used to be. And it's such a fine line. So I don't have any issue with where they're ranked. I don't know how much longer he's got in the tank, but
That's my question.
If you were to tell me that he doesn't win another national championship, I mean, I'd kind of look at that more 50-50, which those odds for Alabama, I mean, think about that. When's the last time you would say, hey, is Alabama over the next 6-7 years going to win a national championship? And you said, it's a toss-up. I mean, they would be favorites, right, the majority of the time. But now they got to go through Georgia, in their own conference. You have LSU. You have Texas, who's ranked number four here. You have Oklahoma, Auburn, Ole Miss. I mean, it's a gauntlet. Ole Miss, not even on here. We'll get to that in a second. But yeah, those are my thoughts on Bama.
I didn't jot down a list of snubs, but wow, yeah. I mean, no Ole Miss.
Hold on, we got Ole Miss, Oregon State. We'll revisit that in a sec.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Gonna get some things off my chest. Georgia, number one. I mean, if Kirby's there, with how they've recruited, I fully agree with that. Same thing with Ohio State. Mark Pantone talked about the current landscape, just with the NIL and all that stuff, and we discussed, you know, them picking up the two Armstrong twins and the changing of philosophy. I think LSU, if we said this time last year, hey, the Tigers are going to be projected to be number five, in the top five in 2025, I think that would have been a bit surprising. But Brian Kelly can coach, man, right? And they're getting it cranking there from a recruiting standpoint. Texas, this would be Arch, correct?
This would be Arch.
Yeah. I don't hate it. Put that offensive line. What Steve Sarkisian's been able to do there. But he's going to feel the pressure, right? Sark is going to feel the pressure to get it done. So
I'm not in love with this one. And it's not, it's very similar to Miami. Yeah. More about Steve Sarkisian than it is about the University of Texas. Like, until there's actually proof in the pudding, I'm completely skeptical. There's no way in hell I'm going to have Texas and Steve Sarkisian over Dabo Swinney and Josh Heupel in Lincoln Riley. I mean, what have you done? What have you done? You haven't done anything. I'm sorry. I mean, just being real. Yeah. I mean, do they have the talent makeup to be in that conversation? 110%. But so do the other teams. And you haven't done anything. You have proved really nothing. You've underachieved. So that might be harsh. That's how I feel on Texas. I mean, if we're talking business, I mean, you got all the tools there to play with. And it's like, what are we doing? Year three, he's got to hit. You know, I put Texas, I put Miami, there's another one, Texas A&M. All those teams have the ability to perform at a high level, and they have not done that so far. And A&M, Texas, critical years for them, critical year for Miami, even though, you know, everybody's going to preach long-term vision and patience and all that type of stuff. Just go win some games at some point. Win some games you're supposed to. So,
okay, can we talk about some snubs? Because I think we didn't discuss talking about snubs, but
I mean, Coach, we got some. I just saw a snub on here that. Whew, how about the Penn State Nittany Lions?
I had them written down.
Holy smokes, dude! Holy smokes.
Okay, but here, is James Franklin somewhere else in this top 25?
No, I don't think so. Like, let's play it out. Where is he going to go? Florida?
Michigan?
Michigan.
I mean, I'm just throwing something out. I mean,
I mean, dude, I guess to your point, though, that would have to be the only argument, right?
Yeah, he's somewhere else, right?
Right.
All right, other snubs. Give me some more.
Let's see. Let's go Power Five. We'll go conference by conference.
Producer Lance chimes in. 2025 would be first year post Aller, Nick Singleton for Penn State.
I love the way Penn State has been building their roster, especially up front. And then behind that, you got a guy in Jackson Smoluk, who I think is physically more talented than Sean Clifford. I don't think Penn State's going anywhere. I think they've proved that. Well, Penn State, for them to fall off the face of the earth makes zero sense. And I'm not, like I said, Brad's got a tough job, so I'm not taking a shot at him. ACC, maybe the team that could sneak in there would be a team like Duke, but that's a little bit of a reach. No, but NC State, North Carolina?
NC State's the one for me. I mean, North Carolina, how much longer Mack Brown going to be there? NC State, Dave Doran. Dave Doran's been there forever. I do like how they recruit. I do think that they make strong evaluations. I think you can make a case for NC State.
Okay, Big 12. Baylor?
Here's the one that intrigues me. UCF.
I forgot we're in the Big 12 now. Yeah. Yeah, who knows, right? I mean,
like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how that conference looks, but right. I think that's one where you're like, okay, you know, in that 20 to 25 pod.
I'd say the one, listen, we can talk about a handful of these teams in the Big 12. You can talk about Baylor. You can talk about Kansas. We'll see what happens to them. Oklahoma State, of course,
Texas has a right. Tech.
Texas Tech is the one. Like, if he gets that thing going, which right now he's got the engines revved up, but Joey McGuire can coach, he can recruit. That would be the one that I would not be shocked if they're in the mix.
Back-to-back top 25 recruiting classes, right?
Correct. Okay. ACC, Big 12, we've checked those off. Big 10, Iowa.
I mean,
Michigan State, Minnesota, Penn State, Illinois.
The one I kind of, it's like Illinois, right? What do they look like here? And after the season they had in 2022, like, I think Brett has that. Purdue, I know it's a first year coach. Ryan Walters comes over from Illinois as the DC, but they have been the biggest surprise to me from a new look recruiting standpoint of any of the new hires, right? Like, they were involved with Aaron Noland, and then they get Marco Davila, and now top 247 quarterback. Like, when is the last time Purdue's just gone into Texas and beat out some big time schools? Like, I kind of have them circled to see, all right, what are they going to look like? This could be the first top 25 recruiting class for the Boilermakers in I think 5 years. I don't know. There's some other interesting ones on here. Maryland with Mike Locksley. He always gets some difference makers. So yeah, Michigan State would be a big omission given Mel Tucker's salary.
I agree. That would not be a pleasant unveiling for Michigan State fans if that is the case. I think Illinois and Penn State to me right now is the biggest one that we have circled. All right, Pac-12 teams that kind of stand out. Oregon State, I'm going to say it again. I would have them in my top 25. Jonathan Smith can straight up coach. Aiden Childs, favorite. He'd be the guy at that point.
I forgot Aiden Childs is there. Remind listeners about Aiden Childs, because he is pre-podcast.
Top 247 quarterback 2023 out of the state of California. Heard as a junior, small sample size as a senior, completed 74% of his passes. Comes to San Antonio, 6'3" plus guy that can sling it. Also, you have to respect his ability on the ground. Right now, if he was in the 2024 class, he'd probably be the
QB
one. The mix for number one, right? So, love some Aiden Childs. UCLA.
Yeah, I had them highlighted.
right? So
Dante Moore headed out to LA.
That's right. Okay. SEC. I don't think he, outside of maybe Kentucky, I don't think he was, I think he was pretty dialed on the SEC. Ole Miss would have been in there. I'll tell you what, I don't know if this was Brad's intentions, but this article is going to get a lot of clicks.
I think that's...
I mean, I think that's our overall, you know, goal as a company is to produce content, but
this is interesting content. Like there is, this is interesting. Okay. What about
you and I came in here and said, hey, we're going to talk about this for 30 minutes. We're on minute 53 right now.
All right. What about Arkansas?
Got her head in a total pretzel. I don't mind this. I don't mind being Arkansas in the top 25, outside of the top 25. I think they're right on the cusp. Kentucky to me is the one that like, I think they should be in over teams like Colorado.
So who's higher in the bubble? Kentucky or Arkansas?
Kentucky.
Okay.
Kentucky's proved it, in my opinion. All right, let's give some loves to the G5s. I mean,
this is a fun conversation. Like everyone's wondering who the next G5 power is going to be, with Cincinnati off to the Big 12, UCF off to the Big 12, Houston's off to the Big 12. How about our guy at Tulane? Billy Fritz.
I know this is a podcast, but we record on video and I'm nodding my head. I love that one. I like what they're doing. I like that one a lot. The other one, I don't know if he'll be there by 2025, but John Summerall at Troy, the job they're doing too. Double-digit wins in his first year. You know there's going to be a top 25 preseason team from the G5. You know, it's just right now it's kind of like throwing darts in the dark.
Yeah.
You know, trying to figure out who that's going to be. Liberty?
That's a name that jumped out to me. Liberty. Chadwell is now there from Coastal Carolina. Hugh Freeze was able to win with them. Marshall, potentially, in the Sun Belt. I think the Sun Belt is shaping up to be one of the stronger conferences there. Yeah.
All right, Drew. I'm going to simplify this for us. Biggest surprise, biggest disappointment, and team that you're riding with Brad on.
Biggest surprise.
Surprise can be positive or negative.
Okay. Can I go team I'm riding with?
Yep.
I'm going to start there, Wisconsin. Like, I would bet that future. I like that. All right. What are the other two categories?
Biggest surprise.
It's Wisconsin, but I'm riding with them. Or no. Team, that's team I'm riding with category, correct?
Yeah, you're riding. Yep, you're riding Wisconsin.
You go first. I'm all over the place.
Okay. I'm riding with Tennessee.
Okay.
They're at 6. I think they can go as high as 4. Texas, LSU ahead of them. That would not shock me. I love Tennessee. Team that surprised me the most, Texas at 5. I get it. I see the logic. Just very skeptical. Biggest disappointment, it has to be Penn State.
Yeah. Okay.
I just don't see the logic of them outside the top 25.
Okay. So can I go, biggest surprise for me right here, Colorado. Like, I got to kind of see it before I believe it with the Buffalo. I think that is a very, it ain't going to be easy. Right. And I was having this conversation with someone. I can't remember who, you know, I think it was just one of my buddies, and they're picking my brain. And then they started reading off Colorado's schedule in 2023. And I was like, well, yeah, you got a point. Like, you know, 4 or 5 wins is not going to be easy. So surprising to see them here over some other guys. Like, we know Prime can recruit. It's a lot different at Colorado than it is Jackson State. So they're surprised, and disappointments, a biggest snub. Snub would be the disappointment category. Penn State was on there. We just read a bunch of them off. I would go, and I know I didn't really talk a lot about, but how about Texas Tech? Just with how they're recruiting, what they were able to do, in 2022 on the field.
The Ole Miss snub feels personal.
Yeah.
Sorry to air out my boy Brad. I'm just kidding. I mean, it's a tough job because you're looking at 25 in Kansas State. You're like, yeah, I see that. Nebraska. Who knows, right? I wouldn't be shocked either way. Yeah, no. Colorado at 23. You're betting upside there. Outside of that, I mean, every single one of these teams from 22 to 1, to me, has a legitimate case of being in there. But so does Penn State, Texas Tech, Ole Miss, and Oregon State, right? So who are you going to push out?
Yeah.
That's the difficult part. Great exercise, though, man. Enjoyed that.
Fun exercise.
Hey, Druzer, so Thursday, Friday, you're out, right?
Yeah, man, going up to Savannah, or jetting over to Augusta for the practice round.
Savannah's got a baseball team, right? Banana Slugs or something?
Yeah, like that? Savannah Bananas.
Savannah Bananas. Aren't they pretty crazy? They do the dances and stuff?
But they're out
Y'all
of town.
You going to check that out?
No, they're out of town. And thankfully, because tickets to that are, you know, we're bordering on like Sweet 16 ticket prices.
Really?
Yeah.
And they got it going. Good for them. All right, final thoughts.
They travel, me and you don't have kids, but they like travel around and they sell out ballparks and it's
they
a
take
big
the show on the road.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kids love
like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball.
Yes, yes. Great player comp.
Great player comp. All right, brother, final thoughts before we get you out of here for the weekend.
Fun exercise. I think we said this in the other podcast, but like the wave of commitments is coming. So be prepared, right? Like guys are making decisions and it's going to kind of gear up here soon.
2024, heating up.
Heating up.
Also, the Masters. Drew, who's your pick?
I don't know. I was kind of reading last night. I don't have any bets in yet. I don't know who I'm riding with. What about you?
I think it's probably almost impossible to pick against Scottie Scheffler right now.
Oh, well, he's the odds-on favorite. Great handicap.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you watch that guy play, and it's like a completely different level. So, if Scottie's a favorite, the only guy that I would pick against him would be Rombo, John Rahm. But I hate that pick. You know what? Wild card pick, Ricky Fowler. Love the way he's been playing.
I'd be all on board on a Fowler.
He's got that takeaway figured out. That's my guy, man. Just living life. All right. For Andrew Ivins, I'm Cooper Patagna. I haven't said this yet, but if you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you find your podcast, Apple, Spotify. Leave a review. We've had some great reviews on there. Really enjoying them. One just was a 5-star and it said great. So it can be one word. You don't even really have to chum it up to a sentence or anything like that. But, guys, we appreciate you listening to the show. Also, if you missed it, yesterday we had the head coach of the University of Washington on the pod, Kalen DeBoer. God, what a cool dude that guy was, huh? Chill as hell.
I didn't know he's left-handed.
Is he?
I don't know. I couldn't tell if he was messing with me. And he's like, yeah, everyone's left-handed here now.
Super, super humble guy. Nah. And a All-American at Sioux Falls. Shout out South Dakota, our listeners in South Dakota.
I've had a few coaches in the industry text me and be like, oh, you guys got him on there? He's one of the best. So he is well-respected across the board.
Great dude. Great dude. Great interview. Got to talk a little bit of everything. So make sure you check that out wherever you find your podcast. And for our director of scouting, Andrew Ivins, for producer Lance Flynn, I'm national recruiting analyst for Bertagno. We'll see you next week.
Hey. Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.